Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 31st. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's the computer show today. Always a good time to get your questions in about these major parts of our lives. Joining us to talk about computers and your questions hopefully will be answered by Tony Yang, operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, which currently manages the computer network here at WAMC. Gig focuses on PC repairs, network consulting services, and voice over IP communications. He is always an interesting guest and always a popular one. Get your calls in now. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Or you may email your question about computers at voxpop@wamc.org. Tony Yang is here. Your computer questions answered coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here to answer all your computer-related questions today is Tony Yang. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby in college and quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony has been managing networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Always great to have Tony Yang on the program. To join the conversation today, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. You may also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here again.
Well, I tell you, every time you show up, you terrify me, and now you've done it again. Why should I be scared?
You know, there's always something new.
Yes.
It seems like on a monthly basis, you get a large and a big bad news somewhere.
This one sounds bad. Or maybe I'm hearing it wrong.
This is we had pretty couple of pretty bad things that came to light in the past 2 or 3 months.
I mean, right.
Really big stuff. One of those is the Intel chip that allows remote management, which now is known to allow hackers to gain complete control over your computers
without
you even knowing it.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. So tell me more about this before I run home and check my computer.
All right. So if you have a computer that was manufactured after 2010, which includes pretty much all the newer computers in the past 7 years,
yeah.
And it has the Intel, what's called an advanced management technology in the AMT chip.
Intel Advanced Management Technology.
That's right. So what's happening is these chips were originally designed to allow companies like myself to gain remote access and manage thousands of computers out there in any given organization. What's happening now is there's a flaw in the chip that allows hackers to gain full control over your computers without you knowing it. And it has gone as far as gaining control on your computer without the PC being on.
Without the PC being on.
That's right.
So there's no way to win, basically.
This is a tough one because it as long as your computer is plugged in, it draws power from the wall. So even if you do a shutdown on your computer, the back end, the motherboard is still running, chip is still active.
What about the power switch on the back? A lot of them have the master switch on the back.
Yep. If you got a master switch and you turn that off, or you pull the power cord off the wall, then you're safe. Other than that, everybody is vulnerable.
And how long has this been known?
This has been known. This came out about 3 or 4 months ago, and Intel didn't know about this.
Intel didn't know about this.
That's the word, that this was an unknown bug. There are obviously lots of unanswered questions.
That's not a bug. That's a garage door, and it's open.
I mean, this has been going on for 7 years. You know, it goes through versions 6 all the way through 11.6.
I'm writing this down because I'll be checking. Now, how would one check In other words, if you go home, from what I understand, this is mainly for business systems, but some people might have them in their home as well.
Yes, if you custom built your computer, you are likely to have a motherboard that has one of these chips in it, because it is a way for companies to maintain a fleet of computers out there. So it's got its useful functions, but unfortunately with the bug, now it becomes a huge headache for most of these companies. To find out whether or not your computer contains one of these chips, you want to look at the initial boot up. As you turn on your computer, the BIOS screen will show up.
Yeah.
Right on that screen, or a few seconds after that, will flash the Intel AMT logo. So there should be some indication whether or not your computer has that chip in it.
And it will show the version, either, you know, between 6 and 11.6 is what you said, right?
Normally, it would tell you what the version is on the software. Now, if you don't see that screen, what you will want to do is log in, get into the BIOS of the computer. So that is the initial BIOS is basic input-output system that initiates the initial boot up. And it normally, you will press either F2, sometimes it's F10, sometimes it's a tab, sometimes it's a delete button that will get you into the BIOS, and you can definitely see it from that screen.
Now, messing with a BIOS, for somebody who has no skill, it can be extraordinarily fraught with danger, right?
Yes, I will say yes and no to that. It can mess up the system and reset everything back to default, mm-hmm. which can cause problems on your computer. But if you just go into it and look at the information in it without changing anything, then you're probably safe.
Okay, so you are now in the BIOS. You find out that you have one of these Intel Advanced Management Technology chips between version 6 and 11.6. Then what do you do?
Then you need to go and get the patch from Intel, update the chip programming itself to get rid of this fraud.
All right, this sounds dangerous.
It is. I wouldn't recommend a novice user doing this.
Is there a way to save? In other words, Ray goes in, finds out he's got that problem. He's not that bright. He thinks he can do it himself. So is there a way for Ray to save an earlier version of the BIOS on some sort of a removable, bootable media?
Yes. Certain systems will allow you to do that. Certain ones won't. Oh. And I got to tell you, that is a involved process.
Oh, God. So there was no way, in other words, with Windows, you get updates and they automatically patch things when they find security flaws or whatever, or performance issues. But with this issue, it is prior to your operating system, and so there's no way for Intel to automatically patch your system.
Right, so the patch does not come with the Microsoft updates. This is a Intel-specific patch.
Why is this not front page news?
It makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is affecting we have no idea how many computers out there exactly.
Presumably somebody knows. How many computers?
Yeah, I think somebody does know, but we don't have that information, unfortunately. We know that this is a huge problem, especially for smaller organizations that do not have a full security system in place. This is a scary thing because, like I said, it can attack your computer even when it's off.
This is terrifying.
It is terrifying, I think, in many ways. If you got one of these PCs out there, please do the update.
So you would go to the Intel website, and presumably they're not hiding this? In other words, shouted this from the rafters and, hey, we got an issue here?
Yeah, well, this is a known thing now in the IT world. We didn't know about this. Now we do, and there is a fix for that. It should have been a bigger news, I think, than what we put it to be. But
how long do you figure the bad guys know about it?
We don't have statistics on this, but the reason why it's out now is because there were computers that were compromised.
Oh, good heavens. Now, is this one of those that was leaked when all the NSA backdoors and hacks were released by various organizations?
So this was leaked very, very close to that. They are non-related. The NSA ordeal was a software bug within the Windows operating system. Mm-hmm. This is on a chip level, which sets it apart in many levels.
Yeah, and I'm still having a tough time with those who make the architecture of these chips not knowing something like this was possible.
My thought is that my thinking on this is that this was a backdoor,
right,
which many of us programmers use, mm-hmm, as a way to get back into something in case the front door closes up.
Right.
So it's a common practice, and I think this was one of those backdoors that never got shot or was never properly secured. Mm-hmm. So once the bad guys found out about this, they took full advantage of it.
Are there lawsuits in Intel's future over this?
Not that we know of yet, but I would have to imagine that this is going to be a legal issue at some point. You know, just imagine that somebody can sit on the other side of the world and see exactly what's going on in your computer,
yeah,
including before you get into Windows. If you turn your machine on, they can see exactly what each keystroke is, all the passwords you type, what's going on your screen, what you're watching. It's a pretty scary thought.
Well, thanks, Tony. We got 40-some-odd minutes to go, and I don't know how I can go on. Our number is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for the terrifying Tony Yang, 800-348-2551. Computers today, and we'll get back to your calls and other things coming up.
Support for WMT comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst-Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses including Bevel, Lafon, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban sunglasses, Sheehy Opticians.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com and on Facebook. The Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. And Nine Pin Cider, Albany, hard cider made from local apples. Tasting room featuring New York cider, beer, wine, and spirits, Tuesday through Sunday, now available in Massachusetts. NinePinCider.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, joined today by Tony Yang, who will answer your computer questions, hopefully. Our number is 800-348-2551. Anything at all, give Tony a shot here. Let's go to Lee in Ghent. Lee, you're on.
You may have already answered this, but that is pretty terrifying about the Intel chip and the backdoor. But that doesn't exist with Macs, correct?
On certain Mac systems, you know, the newer Macs actually uses the Intel chip.
Really?
I can't tell you specifically whether or not your Mac might have that. That technology is supposed to be platform independent. So lots of the new Mac Airs, for example, are all Intel chip based, and they will be using the Intel chipset system. So I don't have specific information on which models this might have an effect on, but what I can tell you is that the Macs do use Intel chips.
Some
they used
do.
To use Motorola. Nowadays, they use mostly Intel.
There you go. So check it out, Lee. We appreciate that call. 800-348-2551. So I assume in your line of work, you're checking all your systems for all affected computers.
Oh, yeah. We have been so busy these past couple of months. It's just been unbelievable. It's just one thing after another.
Well, we had the massive hack attack that affected a lot of places in Europe, and I guess some here, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And fingers pointing at North Korea, but no one knows for sure, right?
Right. So there's, you know, we got word of it on Friday. It was 2 weeks ago.
Something like that. It seems like a lot longer.
So we spend, our entire staff spent the weekend patching systems across all the clients that we provide services for. We were only able to cover the servers.
Were any affected, by the way, by the ransomware?
None of our clients are affected by it, thank God. But there were reports of 57, 1,000 computers around the world got infected.
Yeah. No, I meant your clients.
Yeah, none of our clients got infected.
Not that many in the U.S., right?
This was widespread over in Europe more than it was here.
Kind of makes you wonder.
It kind of makes you wonder. Well, the history of this is that the technique for this particular hack, WannaCry.
WannaCry, yeah.
Also known as WannaDecryptor. It is a technique that was invented by the NSA to look at people's computers, and the hackers have managed to turn that around and take advantage of that technology. They didn't have to write the code, so that helps a lot.
Mm. Well, there you go. I guess maybe we go back to papyrus. I think that would be the safest thing. Let's go to John in Albany. John, you're on with Tony Yang.
Where were these Intel chips made?
I do not have that specific information, but these chips, I will assume that these chips are made at all of their factories. They have factories in Malaysia.
John?
Overseas, you mean?
Yes, but I would think that this includes their chips that were manufactured here, if there were any.
So it's in the architecture.
This isn't a issue with the chip factory at a particular site.
Changing this was as it was designed to be.
That's right. This was a design flaw, and it was manufactured everywhere.
Not deliberate.
No. Well, as far as we know. John, thanks a lot for that. 800-348-2551. You see that, Tony? You got everybody riled up. Let's go to Nina in Warwick. Nina, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just like to preface this by saying I don't know much at all about computers. What's happening to mine, though, is it says that it's not connected to the internet, yet other computers in the house are. So I don't know. I really don't know what to do. Should I call the, should I bring it in to have it fixed? Because I don't know anything at all about computers. So maybe you could give me some hints.
Could be a lot of things. Is it plugged in?
That could be a lot of things, yes. Could be because it's not plugged in. You might want to check your cable to make sure it's plugged in to the to your network. Sometimes the PCs, they don't, for whatever reason, don't pick up an IP address on your network. So other machines will have the IP address, but yours doesn't, and that would prevent you from going out to the internet. So I would completely power off that computer, power cycle it, and turn it back on afterwards to see if anything changes. If not, we boot your router, because that could
certainly could be the router.
That
or
could be the problem.
It could even be if you have a software firewall just is locked down for some reason on that computer.
Right, yeah.
And what would you do with that if it's the firewall?
Yeah, so you can try by going into the control panel and turning off your firewall temporarily to see if that gives you internet access.
Okay. Because like I said, there's two other computers in the house, and they have no problem. So it's obviously my computer.
Yeah. Once the computers have an IP assigned to it, then it's usually good.
And you should set it to automatically generate an IP?
Yes. Most routers that you buy for your house would have a DHCP server built into it that serves the IPs.
Okay.
So once your machine turns on, it knows how to get there and pick up an IP address.
Well, Nina, good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Tony Yang is our guest. Oh, let's see who's been waiting longest. Mike in Lanesboro, Massachusetts. Mike.
Hi. I got a quick question. I believe I have a program on my computer called BellArc Advisor. Yes. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I am.
Will that show me what kind of chip I have?
Yes.
It should show everything on the computer.
That's a very, very good
point,
Mike. It's BELARC. Is that correct, Mike? I think I got that spell.
That's correct, and I think it's a free program, too.
It is. So, yes, you can download that program, and it will actually tell you a lot more than just the chip on your computer.
Really?
It is a very, very good program. Yes, it is a free program, so download that and see, you know, which chip you have on your computer. Thank you for pointing it out, Mike. That's good.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Rich in Whitesboro. Rich, you're on.
Oh, okay, thanks. I was wondering... about Chromebook, any viruses get in there, and do you recommend an antivirus program?
Chromebook.
And I have AOL. Do they protect you also?
So Chromebook runs on Android. There are anti-virus software designed for the Android system, although the Google has done an excellent job at plugging up most of the holes in the Android operating system. So you're much safer. Chromebook is more like your phone.
Mm.
And, you know, surprisingly, if you think about it, most people don't have any type of protection on their phone.
I look for it constantly and can't find any that really do anything.
Yeah, I mean, there are some out there. But you know, generally, these cell phone companies do a good job preventing hacks from getting into their network because it can be detrimental to their network. If you got a Chromebook, I would get something, but you're much safer than the PCs out there.
All right, but you can get them, and I like that. I got my oldest daughter a Chromebook for Christmas, and they're great.
Yeah, if you're just doing emailing and
homework,
and internet browsing,
yeah.
You know, homework. Most schools use Chromebook because they're so inexpensive to deploy. It's been a much bigger success than I think people anticipate it to be.
Tony Yang is our guest today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Joe in Holyoke. Joe, you're on.
Hi, I had a kind of changing the subject a little, a question about movies and television.
Yes.
Every time I turn on a screen and I see someone using a computer, it's like wizardry. And I was wondering if you had seen anything, TV shows, Netflix, movies, anything recently that used computers accurately on screen.
Well, that's a tough one. Well, Tony, do you have time to watch TV?
I try to get my share of TV time in. Now, I just want to make sure I understand the question. Are you getting the wrong screen size on the TV? Is that what you're referring to?
I think he's talking about content.
No. I'm just like the writers will say, oh, look, this person's a computer expert. Oh, look at what all the information they just pulled up, and they brought down these three airplanes, and they were able to save the day with a computer. And that doesn't seem entirely accurate to what I know about computers. So I was just wondering if you had seen accurate writing about computer use on TV or movies or anything like that. So that it's not just little techno music in the background and a hacker saving the day.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, there is so much, I'm going to use the term fake news out there.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to know which is a legitimate source these days. But I will stick with places like PC World.
You're talking about fictional shows, aren't you, Joe?
Yes. Like if I watch one of the cop shows on TV and they bring in the computer expert who can suddenly do everything.
There is at least from what I know, there is no such thing as somebody that can do everything. You know, these shows that you watch where they zoom in and be able to discern pictures that are 100 miles away.
They can do that.
They can do that to a certain degree, but not as well as these shows are telling you.
All right, well, let's just admit that you can't answer this question. And Joe from Holyoke, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. You'd have to watch every show that's out there to give us a solid answer on that, and you get back to us. Gordon in Poughkeepsie. Gordon, you're on.
Yes, I'm wondering about when one turns on the computer, how again to, I have an old Windows 10, how do you know what to look for if you have, you know, Intel, and if there's a good if there's a good spyware or something to, and I turn off the computer, I turn the power off, and I'm also always hesitant to do any type of financial stuff on the computer because I'll fear that someone should just access my, you know, computer. So I always call the bank or go in person because I don't like doing it over mine. But how would I know when I turn it on? What am I looking for? And if there's any spyware or anything that you would recommend that one should do, because it's an old computer, I'm hoping that, you know, it's such an old system that, you know, they wouldn't bother with.
What do you have, Windows 10?
Yeah.
It's not that old then, is it?
Yeah. Anything after 2010 is the date stamp on that. Now, Mike earlier, one of the other callers that that we spoke to, he recommended Belloc, which is, like I said, a free piece of software that will identify which chips you have on your computer. You can also...
Belloc, yes. B-E-L-A-R-C,
correct? A-R-C, right. You can also, when you turn on your computer... Generally, your BIOS screen will come up. That's the first screen that you see, and it will tell you which button to press on your keyboard to get into the BIOS.
Correct.
To look at which chipsets you might have on your computer.
Okay.
So there are several different ways that you can go about this.
Well, who knew that my old Windows 98 machine from 1997 would have been safer? I mean, really?
That's right. Yeah.
Although that was not very safe, come to think of it. All right, let's go to Larry in Boston Spa. Larry, you're on.
Hey, hello. I just have a question regarding this problem with the Intel. Does it affect laptop computers also?
Yes, it does. Laptops have these management chips in it.
But not all of them. No, let's be clear. Not all computers will have this.
So, yes, let's make that clear that this isn't all Intel chips. It is specifically the Intel Advanced Management Technology, AMT,
AMT
chip, which was deployed on many corporate desktops.
What did you say, Larry?
I'm sorry. When I put on the laptop, it doesn't show that BIOS screen when it first comes on. So is there a way to
go through this again?
Yep.
Maybe escape button?
Right. So when you first turn on your computer, some systems would display it after you hit the escape button. Sometimes it's the F2 button. Sometimes it's the tab button on your,
okay,
on your keyboard.
Understand.
Okay, and then you get in and take
another quick question, I guess related to computing, because it involves Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The president's account, that's C-O-V-F-E-F-E, COVFEFE.
Yes.
I just want to know, if you look at it, without the V, it looks like he typed the word coffee and made a couple of typos in it.
Ah, well, maybe he clearly needed a cup of coffee.
Yeah, he probably did at 6 a.m. Oh, I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. Larry, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here to talk computers. And let's go to another Tony in Boston Lake. Tony, you're on with Tony.
Thank you. I tuned in a little late. I'd like to know what the issue is with the Intel processor.
Okay, it's not all. So,
right.
Tony,
right.
The Cliff Note version, since we've been through this now 17 times on this program.
Yeah. So it's not all Intel chips. It is specifically the Intel Advanced Management
Technology
chip. So it's AMT chip. These chips were put on computers to allow larger companies to gain remote access and maintain their fleet of computers.
Right.
So it is not all Intel chips. I just want to make that clear.
And you
again
said it was the Intel AMT versions 6 through 11.6 that were affected.
That's right. So it's production, the chips that were produced, the AMT chip that were produced between 2010 and 2017.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Okay.
And so basically, Tony, just to give you the quick fix on this, it's not a fix, but to tell you what happened is, basically, it would allow potentially someone to get into your entire computer, even if your computer was not turned on.
That's right. As long as it's got power, it will allow them to get access to it.
So you might want to take a look. I know I will. And another satisfied customer. Thank you, Tony. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go over to Aaron in Albany. Aaron.
Yes, you answered my question.
Ah, well, okay.
So I need to know what the chipset was. That's all.
All right, man. Thanks for playing. We appreciate it.
Boy, we are good, Ray. We answered a question.
You are good. I am just the button monkey here at the controls. Let's go to Teresa in Schenectady. Teresa, you're on.
Thank you. Hi. I have a situation in which we have an HP printer, which is a Series 5520. And for whatever reason, we changed the ribbons, or we changed the ink cartridges. Mm-hmm. I even went on to the control panel, and I reset the printer. But for whatever reason, it'll scan, but it will not print.
Okay. It'll scan, but not
you
print.
You have any? Yeah. Yeah. In other words, whenever I hit the print, it'll run like it's printing, but the ink won't go out. So it's basically like just blank papers spitting out.
You have removed the film off the ink cartridges. Okay,
because there are fresh cartridges.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
they're brand new.
I would just try not to say. You know, sometimes these ribbon cartridges they can get stuck. It's a very very small amount of space then that the ink's out, and if that gets clogged up, that could create a problem for you.
So it feels like it should be printing. It's going through the motions, and there's just no ink coming out. Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Right.
It sounds like it's just not spitting out the ink. So I would try another set of cartridges.
They're
if you have it.
Expensive though.
I know. You know, this is what people don't, you know, they try not to tell you this, but they're giving away these printers.
Right.
But the ink cartridges cost more than the printer themselves.
Indeed.
Lots of times.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, they do.
Yeah, that might be a way to go though, Teresa. Give that a shot. We got to take a break here. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is here, and we hit the home stretch with your computer questions coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services, and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenAndPerrin.com. Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine. Exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames, where eyewear is an art. VisionExcelEyeCare.com. Lathrop Retirement Communities. Communities of older adults devoted to social responsibility and personal and intellectual enrichment. Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. Lathrop.kendall.org. Agricultural Stewardship Association. Helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. AGStewardship.org. And Studio Herbage, a contemporary floral design studio in historic downtown Johnstown, New York. Local and long-distance delivery, StudioHerbageFlorist.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here with you at 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest, and we talk computers today. Also, the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And Tony, this one came in from Sue via email, who writes, AdMaps showed up on my computer a few weeks ago. It is invasive and annoying, but I don't trust the companies that claim to have a fix for it when I Google AdMaps. Know anything about this, and what can I do? AdMaps, A-D-M-A-P-S, according to her email.
Yeah, I don't know that specifically, but it sounds like a form of malware on your system, so I would just, you know, get...
Super anti-spyware or one of those?
Yeah, malware bytes is what we use lots of times.
Very good.
Your antivirus software on your computer will normally do that for you as well. But malware bytes is a free piece of software you can download to clean that out.
It really is excellent.
It's very good. And then the pay version is even better.
Is it? Well, I mean, what I do is I have my own software, but then every so often I'll update malware. I won't leave it running, but I'll update malware bytes, and sometimes it'll catch something that the other ones don't catch. So.
That's right. It is specifically designed to detect and remove malware. It's a very good piece of software.
800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Andrea in Niskayuna. Andrea, you're on.
Hi, Tony, and hi, Ray.
Hi.
Hello.
I actually have a response to one of the questions from a listener. I read a very long techie blog about the veracity of computer science on TV and in movies, and it turns out their analysis said that the only one that really had true computer accuracy was Mr. Robot. It's a very dark post-apocalyptic series. I think it's terrific, but apparently it looks like gibberish to me, but apparently it's real.
All right, that's cool. Well, thank you very much for that, Andrea, and we appreciate the call. Over to Barry in Scotia. Barry.
How you doing, Tony and Lee? I have a couple of gripes. I'll get them off my chest quickly, and then Tony can respond. One is I use the mouse on the side. I do a lot of word processing. I make a lot of mistakes. And if I could get rid of the numeric keypad on the right side of the keyboard, I love it. And I don't know why it's not available. It's not one gripe. The second one is about the NSA and this huge ransomware attack that happened. The stories mentioned, and this to me shows that they were like false news, the NSA played a big role. They either were stockpiling vulnerabilities, which isn't clear whether they're actually fighting places to break in, or they're actually creating the code to break in, and then they're unable to protect them so that people are grabbing them, putting them on the internet. Why it's illegal to put ransomware or any kind of malware on the internet, I don't know, and then people are copying it. The NSA is actually creating it, and between the lines, it also sounds like the NSA isn't giving the providers who have the vulnerabilities the information, so they actually want to keep these vulnerabilities, which is exactly what the criminals want. So I think that's understated in most of these stories. So I'll shut up now.
All right, fair enough. So let's get back to the question that you could probably answer, Tony, and that's a keyboard that doesn't have the numbers on the.
That's right. So you can go online and purchase many Bluetooth-based keyboards they're normally more portable, so they're smaller, and it won't have the numeric keypad on it. Okay. So there are several manufacturers that will have the keyboard that you're looking for. I would look at Logitech as the obvious
choice. Okay. Yeah, Logitech. I have to amplify one thing. I'm visually handicapped, so I have the big split keyboard with the tilt, which is very helpful for me to find my home keys.
Oh, right, you got.
I love those that keyboard too, and I miss mine from my old computer. And I'm in the dark often on the computer.
Yeah. I use it all the time, but of course that does have the keypad on the side. So when you're going back and forth between, you know, you're using spell check, and you go back and forth, you have to locate it with the mouse. You have to find things, and you have to. That keyboard, that keypad on the right gets in the way. I appreciate what you said about Logitech, but I do have to stick with these larger keyboards. That's my problem.
Okay, man. Well, I don't know what to say. Thanks a lot. We appreciate that.
I just want to add one thing to that. I just looked. There's a Microsoft Sculpt ergonomic keyboard for business, and it does not have the numeric keypad on it.
So it's Microsoft Sculpt.
And it is a split ergonomical keyboard.
Oh, there you go.
That he's looking for.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot for that one, Barry. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. And we go over to Marie in Orange, Mass. Marie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
Hey, Tony. I was wondering, I have a traditional desktop computer. It's an HP desktop that I use for work, and it's got the traditional drives inside. What's the success of swapping out the internal drives for solid-state drives, making it a totally solid-state computer? Is that possible?
Oh, yes. In fact, it is the number one upgrade that I recommend to everybody. Because just by changing from a mechanical drive to a SSD drive that they're referring to, your computer would likely run 5 to 10 times faster. And I'm not talking about 5 to 10%. 500 to 1,000 times percent faster.
Right.
But how are the prices coming on the solid-state drives? They were expensive in the early days.
They were very, very expensive. Now they're very, very inexpensive.
Really?
I just purchased the...
We need to do prices exactly on public radio, but you can ballpark it.
Yes. So the 500-gig SSD drives... you could find them for about $150, somewhere around $150 to a couple of hundred dollars.
Wow, there you go.
I buy the kit to swap out the drives, and I'll take it to my local computer person that knows how to do that stuff. He just pops it in, and how do they transfer the software from the...
They will usually use a mirroring software, that images, imaging software that that would mirror exactly what you got on the mechanical drive onto the SSD. So when you take it home, everything will be there exactly the way it was, except much, much faster.
How about that? Well, that's great. Well,
okay.
Thanks, Marie. Appreciate the call. If you had an extra bay or a slot for another solid-state drive, would you put the operating system on it, or would you just use it for storage? In Tony's perfect world.
So you're saying...
In other words, you have a computer, you got everything you want on it, it's got a large hard drive,
right.
But you have room for another hard drive.
Yep, I would put an SSD drive in there and put the operating system on that, because that's where you see the most amount of benefit.
Yeah. Now, how long do they last? What is the shelf life on a solid-state drive?
For most home users, it depends. There are some SSD drives that will last for, you know, tens of millions of reads and writes. Mm-hmm. I know there were news in the old days about these things not having a great longevity. That's no longer the case these days. We have seen very, very few drives fail.
Okay, but one of the things you guys in the IT business will do from time to time is try to rescue, with some amount of success, information off an old hard drive.
Right.
Can you do that with a solid-state drive? If
yes.
It fails,
if the solid state drive fails, you're in a more difficult position.
This is my question.
Yes, so that is one of the downsides of using SSD drive is that if you got super critical information on there, I would highly recommend backing that up religiously.
So perhaps then, running an operating system is the way to go, because you can always get the operating system again, and you're not compromising your personal data, which is saved somewhere else.
That's a very, very good point.
Tony Yang is our guest. Let's go to Bob in Danbury. Bob.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have an older Pentium Toshiba computer. I have Windows 10 on it, and it seems to be getting slower and slower and slower. When I go to add remove programs, there's so many programs there that I don't know what they are. How does the average user know what program to remove or add? Is that where my computer's slowing up?
Yes. Well, I think that would be a big contributor to that. The more software you put on your computer, the more things, what's called resident software, it will run in the background. So that slows down your computer.
These programs are coming in on their own, it seems like.
That's right. You know, what's happening is, when you install one piece of software, there may be other pieces of software that it needs to install to make that one software work. So you get all these other side effects from installing it. My recommendation would be to go and just uninstall every piece of software that you do not recognize. So if you see names of software on there that you don't recognize, go ahead and uninstall it. It most likely is just the add-on software that comes with
Am I going to hurt the computer, though, by uninstalling something I don't know?
Good luck, man. Good luck. No. If you uninstall something you don't know, it could be a problem.
Well,
yeah. What about bringing it back to the factory settings?
That would, you know, sometimes that's the best approach. Then you're back to day one. It should run just like how it ran from day one. And we do that routinely.
Yeah.
But be careful. Save your data.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it. Defragging. Do enough people do that? Does it even matter anymore?
Good point. Defragging still matters, although the operating systems have been doing a much better job at not causing as much fragmentation. So I would do that maybe every once in a long while.
Mm.
And if you got an SSD drive, there's no point of doing that.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's good to hear. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Joe in Brunswick. Joe.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Great show.
Thanks.
It's a pretty simple question. If I need to bring in a computer that I want to get tuned up or worked on at a repair shop, what's the best way to protect all my private information on that computer?
I know this.
99.99% are nice guys and all and honest and all,
yeah.
But I'll probably hit the one that might be troublesome.
Great question.
Yeah, that is a good question. Well, you can bring it to my shop,
and we don't do stuff like that.
That's a tough question that. Because I mean, what do you do? I mean, the best thing to do is to take it off the computer.
But how? Sometimes there is a lot of either encrypted or unencrypted passwords and things like that on a computer.
So, I mean, if you got a piece of software that can encrypt, you know, your files, then that's the way to go. So programs like Word and Excel have their own password encryption built into it. So even if they get access to the file without the password, they can't look at the content.
Oh, there you go.
There are also these portable USB drives that you can buy that comes with an encryption program built into it. So if somebody gets their hand on that drive without the proper decryption code, they can look at the files in it. But if it's just sitting there, there isn't a whole lot of protection you can put on there.
Another thing, maybe fix it yourself, Joe. What do you think? What's the problem with the computer?
I think this one's beyond me.
Nah.
But if I get to that point where I need the professional assistance, you drop it off and you don't know where it goes to. And I was just wondering if there was a simple and easy way to protect that information.
Well, I would recommend getting an external USB drive and dump all of your data on that instead.
And take it off temporarily.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot for that. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551, the number. Tony Yang is the guest. And Sasha in Woodstock. Sasha.
I would recommend...
You got to turn the radio down there, Sasha, or else you can't be on the radio. Hello? Oh, for Pete's sake, Sasha, you waited all that time. All right, let's go over to Ray in Cohoes. Ray, you're on.
Hi, Tony. I'm curious how detrimental all these recent hacks are to me personally. If I don't use my computer or any financial banking and only use the computer on Facebook, and it's hard to tell you what I don't use it for, but I don't use it for much. Just surfing on the internet, Facebook, and that's about it. How much are my wife and I at risk to any hacking where they're getting all my keystrokes? I mean, am I missing something or?
Okay.
That's a good question.
Just to say this, I haven't used any software for protection in the last 10 years.
Yikes. Oh, boy.
I think that's a great question. How does this affect the average user?
Right.
I should say, this is Joe. It's probably less than average user. If you just go on Facebook and maybe a couple of other routine things. If you got a brand new computer that's never been used and all you do is go to Facebook, you're probably pretty safe.
Yeah.
This isn't going to affect you too much. But you know what you do on a computer. If somebody gets access to your computer, that computer can be used to do other things that you don't even know about.
So botnets and whatnot.
And that's the scary thing about it is that you may not think you're doing something, but that computer that you have may be assisting another hacker trying to hack into some other computer at the government's office.
Covering a trail,
Yes.
Well, Ray, I would suggest software. I mean, you gotta protect it in some way.
Yeah, I would definitely just put something on there.
Zoinks. 10 years without any kind of antivirus or anything. No firewall. Let's go to Mark in Albany. Mark. Hello? Let's try it again. Mark, are you there? Yeah.
Sorry, I was muted. Do you hear me?
Ah, yes, you're muted. You're on,
Mark.
I have an external hard drive, mechanical, maybe 7 to 10 years old, with 1,500 gigabytes which stopped working. And you alluded to this. How do I go about getting somebody to retrieve the data, and what are my chances?
Okay, that's a good question to wrap up things here.
Yes. So I would bring that USB drive to a local shop first, like mine, and have them take a look at it. And if they're not able to recover the data, then there are these professional recovery places that you can send a drive to. I actually had a client just recently who sent that out and got the entire thing recovered, and it only cost them just a few $100s.
Really? So
surprisingly, because they used to be $3,000 just to look at it.
So what exactly happens when somebody when you have a drive that no longer spins, the disk no longer spins, how do you get that information off? You put a new motor on?
Right. So you can put an entire motor head on there. Generally, it's the mechanical part. It's the head. It's the reader head that breaks down.
Right.
So if you, as long as you got the platter, you got the information.
Right.
You just got to put a new head on there, and it can you can retrieve information.
So you could theoretically replace that if
yes.
you were handy.
We've done it.
Yeah.
But you should do that in a clean room.
Really?
Yes.
That lets out my house. All right, Tony, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they find you?
info@gigsystems.com.
info@gigsystems.com. Well, I must say that was an interesting program, and the first thing I'm going to do is go home and check out the chipset on my computer.
Yes, you should.
Maybe you shouldn't be such a stranger, because this happened a few months ago and nobody knew anything about it. We need more Tony Yang. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate you being here.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
Support comes from the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, the 1850house.com, 845-658-7800. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans with weekly tastings, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. For 14 years, offering plant spirit medicine and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit. C-L-A-R-E, Pearson.net. And Chester Common Table, Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts. Locally sourced comfort food, beers, wines, and spirits. Live music weekends, ChesterCommonTable.com. Thanks again to Tony Yang for being here. Thanks to you for listening and for some great calls today. We really appreciate them. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Carol Lapani. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Bob Berman is back in the studio. Who knows what we'll talk about? Right now, though, stand by for news.